Welcome back to Casual Conversations. I am your host, Ryan Bean, here with my talented co-host, Aletta Sweetser, and we are here talking all things life, kids, work, business, holidays, vacations. Nothing's off the table. We get into pretty much everything.
Who knows?
And to all of you guys that continue to listen and support, we can't thank you enough. We sincerely appreciate you guys being here. And hopefully we are bringing value to you and your families in any small way, shape, or form.
So welcome back.
Welcome back.
Okay, I have
what
a topic
are we getting,
today.
What are we getting into today, Elena?
Okay, so this made me think. Today? So as you know, I've been helping some first-time homebuyers, right?
Yep.
So it got me thinking, you know, because the houses they are buying now are, if you think about it, double the price of what I bought my house for as a first-time homebuyer.
Yep.
Triple probably what you bought your first house for here as a first-time homebuyer.
Maybe.
What did you pay on some swap?
$205,000.
Okay. For a house of that size with a pool.
Mm-hmm.
So if you think about it, the pushback that I have from a lot of first-time homebuyers right now is obviously affordability.
Right.
Right. Things are too expensive. Mm-hmm. There's no, I don't have the money. I don't have the means to do it. Right. So I want to dig deep on if you and I were first-time homebuyers in today, or you and I have no investments at all.
Mm-hmm.
Property's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to start over. What would be your plan of action? And let's even play the game even more. You're on what most first-time home buyers on right now, about that 100K and under mark.
So, first of all, we say that, but then you look at what your parents paid for their houses, and then you can make the same argument, right? So, you look at, I think, you know, my mom and dad paid $60,000 or something like that for their first house. And then fast forward to me buying my first house. Again, I had a house in California, so it was a little bit more expensive than that. But I think my first house I ever bought was $225,000. So when you look at my mom and dad at the time, they're probably like, oh my gosh, $225,000. That's triple what I paid for it. So I think we're in the same
pattern.
We're in the same pattern as far as the cost of life has just gone up, right? Inflation is a real thing. Life is more expensive. But I think a big part of it too is people have it wrapped up in their head that it's not affordable. It's too expensive. I can't get in the market. We're never going to be able to make it. We're not going to have the same life my family has. Yada, yada, yada. I think that there's a little bit of truth to that, but overall, I think it's false. I think a big part of it is attitude. I think a big part of it is figuring out a way to live within your means. I think a big part of it is willing to have a short-term sacrifice for a long-term gain. I think the mentality for what people want in today's world is so much higher than what their parents or the generation in front of them have.
Mm-hmm.
I remember when I bought my first house, it was just, how do I get in? How do I get into the real estate market? How do I get into an investment? And then I build from there. That mentality has shifted over the years. Mm-hmm. People want nicer. They want new. They don't want to put any sweat equity in. They don't want effort. They don't want a used car. They don't want to have to live without. They want to live a $100,000 to $120,000 a year lifestyle without making any sacrifices. And then when you talk to them, they're the victim mentality of, we can't afford it, we can't do it, we can't break in. No, you're just not willing to make any kind of sacrifices.
Yep.
That's how I truly feel. I have guys that work for me on my team. One of my guys recently came up to me and he said, look, I have $5,000 saved up. Ryan, you're pretty good with money. You're a pretty good investor. You're good with investing. I wouldn't say I'm a good investor. Trust me, I've had plenty of losses as well. But I chalk up the losses with the wins. And I say the first thing you need to do is figure out how to turn that $5,000 into $10,000. And what most people do is they think they're going to save their way to
bing, bing, bing.
They're going to save their way to getting into a life. And you have to live with it. I just say yes, saving is important. Living within your means is extremely important. And I think not only when you live within your means, I think you're just overall happier because you're not putting this additional stress on yourself. You're not trying to live a life you can't afford to live. One. So he said, okay, what would you do? I said, I'd buy something that I could buy today at $5,000 that I could flip at $7,500, that I could flip at $8,000. Then I'm going to take that $8,000. I'm going to find something that I could flip into $15,000. And then I'm going to sell that at $15,000. I'm going to find something that I could flip into $20,000.
Uh-huh.
And you could build it faster that way. There's also there's first-time home buyer programs now. I think what people have, the challenge has been in today's world, and we're all facing this, is the interest rates. The interest rates are higher. But we talk about, we can't control that.
But there's pros and cons, and I think people forget that, right? Like, yeah. right now is a buyer's market. This is where you're going to get the best deal.
Correct.
Buyer's market, B, best deal, B. There's a reason they go together.
People, I think if people realize what kind of market they actually had in front of them and they could figure out a way to do it, what I would, what advice I would give any young family or young person that's trying to break is figure out a way in. Okay. Lower your expectations on the front end. Be okay with not having all of the nicest things in the flash right now and build. It takes time to build. And people are so afraid of what others think about them or they think about. I could tell you right now, one, who cares? Truly, who cares? And if they do judge you for whatever you have, get them out of your life as fast as possible because they're bringing no value to you whatsoever. Look at, okay, how do I know that I got to get from A to Z. Okay, what steps do I have to take to get there? You can't skip. And what most people do is they want to skip right to Z, and you can't do it that way. So there's always a will if you, there's always a way if you figure out how to do it. So I agree with you. Right now, and Elena knows, she's my realtor, I'm buying whatever I possibly can right now. And the reason why is because the interest rate is a short-term loss. So if I look at a 7.5% interest rate, whatever it is today, okay, and I know I'm gonna lose $200 a month short-term on a house, okay? So I lose $200 a month. Most people will say that's a horrible investment. What are you doing? I can't believe you're doing this. One, it's $2,400 a year. Break that down. What is it per week? What do I really have to give up to lose that $200 a month? So it's less Starbucks run. It's less, you know, time at Target. It's an outfit that I don't need to have. It's a pair of shoes I don't need to have. It's a whatever. It's the crap I don't need to have that I'm spending my money on. So I eliminate that. Now we're back to square one. That $2,400 is a tax write-off to begin with. So now you have that tax deduction coming in. And you bought the house at a price that gave you the best deal. I can never wrap my head around going back to 21 and 22 when the market exploded and people were overbidding by $50,000 to $100,000 on these houses just to break in. Who cares that the interest rate was at 2.5% interest? You just overpaid $100,000 for the house. Now you flip it to today's world where people are so wrapped around the monthly payment opposed to how can I figure out a way to make this work? And the interest rates are gonna come down. It has to. It's just, it's a cycle that we're in right now. And when the interest rates go back down, you simply refinance the loan. Now you're making a positive cash flow on that property, and it's now you've gone up in appreciation on the house or property as well. And now you have that asset. People have got to start wrapping their heads around the fact on if you want wealth, you have to have assets. Well, you can't do it by saving your way to it. It's not going
to
happen.
You also have to sacrifice the way other people aren't going to. And that's where I see a lot with first-time home buyers, even people who want to sell their house and move to the next one, is they have to go for things they want more versus what they need. And that's why you get caught up in that that loop, right? Of now you're stuck. Because I see it all the time. So I have these first-time home buyers right now. I'm working with a handful. I have one right now I have a lot of respect for, and it's actually some family friend's kids. They were approved for, I think, $450,000. And they came back, they're like, we want our max to be $350,000, which I respect. I always tell people, when they come and tell me, we're approved for this mess, I said, what do you want your monthly mortgage to be?
Just because you get approved of it doesn't mean you can afford it.
So they are the type that they were like, we want our mortgage to be X. So the lender goes back and goes, okay, $350,000 is where you need to be. And they are they have been strict about that. And you know, there's times we missed out on houses, and they looked a couple times, a little bit above $350,000. We ended up landing one for $335,000 and just got them $5,000 in closing costs.
Wow.
And great. And you know, I look at it and I have a lot of respect for them because they're young and they get it.
Yes.
And usually when I talk to young first time home buyers, I tell them, I'm like, your first house is meant to break into the real estate game.
Correct.
Right? It's the first stepping stone in wealth building.
Correct. It's like getting your first job at McDonald's. It's not meant to be a lifelong job. It's supposed to be an entry-level job for you to learn skills, learn the workforce, and then you slowly but surely upgrade over time. Yeah. That's the way the design is supposed to be.
But it kills me because we live in a society where if we have less, we are thought of as less. Does that make sense?
Correct.
So you look at me and Cole, for instance, right? You know what our income is.
Sure.
And
I don't, but
Well, I'm sure you have an idea. And so, and so, but look at my house, right? If people look at me and the business I'm doing, I've had clients tell me and assume that I live in a big house in Southlake or Colleyville. I'm like, nope, I live in an 1,800 square foot house that's outdated with the ugliest maroon tile that I hate. Every time I walk in my house, I'm like, I hate that stupid maroon tile. Mm-hmm. But I live in there because that house, I'm strictly there. I enjoy it, but it's strictly there to make the money. My husband that way. And when I bought my first house, mm-hmm. I go back, right? So when I bought my first house, obviously I was selling homes to a lot of my friends who were first-time home buyers. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I'm grateful to have Cole to have brought me back to reality, which is good for that age gap, because I think my age is really into that, what are we posting on social media of what we have, mm-hmm. materialistic stuff. But we bought our first house. I mean, there were dead roaches on the ground. There's dog urine on the wall. Like, it was an ugly-ass house. Mm-hmm. Ugly, ugly, ugly. But that house is more than doubled in value and mm-hmm. now gives us $1,000 cash flow to this day.
Correct. And you still have the asset. And if you ever need to borrow against it, if you ever get in a situation where you and Cole need emergency money and you have to sell it, you have that out.
Yeah.
And that's what, you know, people will ask me a lot of times, like, you know, what do you guys do? And, you know, like I said, I tell people all the time, I make a good living. I don't make a great one. I make a good living. I make a comfortable lifestyle. But I also understand that what I make and my full-time job is not going to be where I need to be, where I want to be, long-term goals. Mm-hmm. So I knew early on that I was going to have to invest. I was going to have to make my money go to work for me. The old school mentality is save, 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 save,
save. It's a hamster wheel.
And the problem is exactly right, because you have inflation. The cost of money is going to go up every year. Can we agree that taxes are going to be more expensive mm-hmm. in 30 years than they are mm-hmm. today? We all know they are. Mm-hmm. Can we also agree that the dollar is going to be less valuable in 30 years than it is today? We can all agree. So if we know that right now, you've got to figure out a way to get out of that cycle. The only way to do that is to have assets. Mm-hmm. You have to have assets that are continuing to bring you income that somebody else is paying for.
Make money while you sleep.
That's exactly right. You have to eventually get there, right? So when you look at like my goal, people say, well, what's your goal? My goal is to have at least 20 properties. So, and everyone thinks, okay, that's impossible. How are you gonna have 20 properties? It's a lot easier than you think it is, right? Once you get the first handful of them, they start to become easier because now you leverage the assets that you have to buy more, right? And it's just,
comes down to people think debt, 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 and they forget there's good debt and bad debt.
There is.
That's the difference between the rich and the ones that are stuck.
Correct.
Is they don't understand. They see debt like my parents are that way. Why would you not sell a house to buy your fourth?
Like you got like the Dave Ramsey philosophy. Yeah. And again, I respect him very, very well. I think he's a phenomenal leader. He's obviously done very well for himself. He hates all debt, right? Mm-hmm. And it's because he's been burned. Now, I'm not saying it's not risky. There's risk in there. You have to be calculated on it. But I look in today's environment, today's world, people have got to figure out a way to make their money to go to work for them. Mm-hmm. And it starts with the stop spending money on stupid shit.
100%.
And that's what people do. People buy things that they don't need to impress people that they don't care about. I don't get it. I don't understand why we can't get out of this. And those are the same people that are complaining that they don't have the house they want. They don't make the income they have. They don't have a savings account. They can never go on vacations. They can never go do these things, but they don't change anything. Uh-huh. What they do is they trade their time for money. Uh-huh. The little money that they have left over after they pay the IRS, they put, you know, whatever emergency fund out. Most people don't. That's why 78% of Americans are broke. 78% of Americans have nothing.
More than $1,000 in their
they
savings.
Don't. So imagine a water heater goes out. You're screwed. Imagine you're needing new tires on your car.
People
you're screwed.
With less than $1,000 are owning houses because of the choices they're making.
Absolutely. And but because they're worried about materialistic things that no one else cares about.
Your ego, I did learn this when I was at Keller Williams with Gary Keller. Your ego is your most costly item on your P&L sheet. What you're spending money on to please other people and your image is what's costing you. And I've been there.
Yep.
I put myself in a little hole before when I first started my real estate career.
All of us have.
Because, you know, I'm building. And I was like, oh, I got to dump money here. It looked nice. I have money here, right?
Would you rather look like you have money or just have money?
I'll tell you right now, it cracks me up when people that I see have all these flashy things, but then they make comments like, oh, I can't afford that. Oh, I can't do that because I can't afford it. And I'm like, it sucks for you.
I know people that are very well off, extremely wealthy people mm-hmm. that still fly economy. Mm-hmm. They will fly in they'll go in the off season. They use points to pay for their travel. Yeah. Now, again, you go in their house, they've got beautiful things. They're drinking nice bottles of wine. They're mm-hmm. eating good. They've got finer things in life for sure. but they drive basic cars. Mm-hmm. They've got, you know, a nice car, a nice middle of the road car. It's paid for 9 times out of 10. They own it. It's completely maintained. It's perfectly clean when you get into it, mm-hmm. because they take care of their stuff. They want it to last, but they don't care about the flash. And, you know, and that's, you know, me and Allison, we talked about that a long time ago. And I see people that are buying firearms and buying guns and buying shoes.
$100,000 trucks.
And they're buying. Again, if you got the means and you have the money and you're smart with your money and you've built your life to where you can go afford those things, by all means, go have some nice things in life. You worked hard for them. You should have a vacation house or a lake house or a nice new car in the driveway. If that's really what makes you happy and you worked your tail off for it, I'm all for showcasing what you did. But to your young buyers out there, these young kids, and I go back to my warehouse guy that asked me that. He came up to me, so that was like about a year and a half ago. He did exactly what I told him to do. And he comes up to me and he's like, Ryan, I have $18,000 saved up. Uh-huh. So he went from $5,000 to $18,000 in a year.
Now you need now to get into
seem,
a house.
Now, exactly. So now it doesn't seem like a lie. I said, okay, now you're a first-time home buyer. You don't need a 20% down payment. Uh-huh. You need a 3% down payment. Uh-huh. You now put yourself in a position where you didn't sacrifice anything. I said, what do you feel like you sacrificed for that $18,000?
No,
he goes, I didn't sacrifice anything. So, but it's Jay.
Have him do the first-time home buyer program. Make the numbers line up. Have nothing. Literally, people are playing closing costs. They're desperate to sell their houses.
Correct.
So you get your down payment paid for. Now the sellers are paying for your closing costs. You're essentially getting a house for $0.
$0. So you are now in.
Zero.
So now you broke in for $0, right? And this is what a smart person does, which is why when they've reached out to them, we got other realtor friends as well, but Elena always helps guide these people in doing this. And this, you know, again, we're not, you know, it's not a real estate show, but this is all about investing. Mm-hmm. And because if people ask and people assume when they see Ellen and I that we're at a certain place in our life that we must make X amount of dollars and we must have, you know, and again, we do well, but it's not because, it's also because of all these other side things, but it's also because we're good with our money, we're smart with our money.
Yeah.
And I look at real estate as a door. I look at real estate as every house that I own or property I own is a business. Mm-hmm. And I have to go, okay, what is the tax implications? Where can I save money on taxes? Mm-hmm. Where can I put money away that's completely legal and is gonna build and grow over time? And real estate is one of the best vehicles to do that. But to your point, they can get in. So now you're in. Uh-huh. So now all of a sudden your house appreciates. So now you live there for 2 or 3 years. What most people do is they have to use that money. They try to take the money out of that house, the sell of that home. They pay to buy the next house. I think that's extremely foolish. I think what you need to do is either repeat what you just did the first time. Figure out how to get $5,000, turn it into 10, turn it to 20, or borrow from that house to go buy the next house. Hold on to that asset as long as possible. Elena has done a phenomenal job on the buy and sit, or buy and hold. I've had to sell a couple properties for, you know, because again, life throws hurdles, but I gave myself those outs. So the biggest reason why I do what I do is so that in case I ever need an out, I have one. And I have an exit strategy, and I have a backup to my backups. Yep. And when you do it that way, you're gonna put yourself in a position to where it doesn't really matter what kind of economy gets thrown at you.
Yeah.
You're gonna figure out a way to get through it. And a conversation I just had with Alan the other night, and he was spot on. He said last year was one of his best years in his business. And he goes, Ryan, did my lifestyle change? No. Mm-hmm. He goes, because I lived the same way with my best year ever as I did the year before that was an okay year. He goes, guess what? Next year, I'm going to live the exact same way. Mm-hmm. And he goes, that way, when I have the good years, I sock more money away. And he goes, when I have bad years, I don't have to make any sacrifices. I just live the same lifestyle that I always live. I live within my means. I don't exceed my means. And over time, it builds.
Yeah.
But it's a marathon, not a sprint. It's going to take time to build. And I think that's the other thing that's wrong with today's youth. Is they want it now. They don't want to wait for anything.
Well, and I think of like last year, which obviously was my first year of really navigating an extremely tough market, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you look at, there are many realtors who had to get out of the game. There are many realtors who had to get out of the game and sell their house, right? Sell assets. And there are other realtors that I've seen have big houses, big teams, and then they started selling houses. Because they got themselves in such a high amount of debt that they were trying to show that they were some certain success level, right?
Right.
And at the end of the day, it bit them in the ass.
Yeah.
And that's what happens.
Correct.
And most people are too quick to want to rush to success and rush to a place that you're not there yet. And so I look at it, I've always looked at it weird. I'm a video gamer. I always look at it as, you don't just turn on a video game and go to the end of the game and beat the game.
Right.
Right? You start at level one. Like, you're going to laugh at me with Zelda, right? You start off with no clothes, you have underwear on, right? You have no armor, no bow and arrow, nothing. You have to go and start searching for these things, and then you start to build up. Mm-hmm. And I remember when I beat the Zelda game last, I had all the armor, all the food I could have. I had like 8,000 rupees. And I'm like, that's what it does over
mm-hmm.
time.
Mm-hmm. What I think Robert Kiyosaki said at one time is that the game of life is just like Monopoly. It's five greenhouses and a red hotel.
Yeah.
And you build it slowly over time, and you slowly buy a house. You buy a second house. You buy a third house. Now the assets become bigger. The value becomes bigger. The house becomes bigger. The business becomes bigger. And you scale, right?
Yep. And what are the best monopolies to get first? The cheaper properties.
Oh, 1,000%.
The cheaper properties.
I tell people, that's I want that first row. I want that first row. Everyone's going for Boardwalk and Park. 1,000%. Everyone hits that corner. And guess what? You might collect less rent, but you collect more rent.
Uh-huh.
And
when you build faster.
You absolutely do.
Because you can afford it faster.
It's spot
most
on,
people,
correct.
And that's just the way of life. You're right. Most people want the Boardwalk.
They want to go to Boardwalk.
I'm the biggest house on the block.
Correct.
And I'm the most expensive. Okay, but you're also the one that typically goes out first in the game.
Yep.
Right.
Yeah, and it's exactly right. And you know, I would tell this young couple that you're working for, you guys got it figured out. You're already on the right path. Fact that you already knew that, okay, cool, we get approved for 450, we don't want to pay 450. Mm-hmm. We're gonna be more comfortable with the 350. And watch what happens. You're gonna go from 350 to now all of a sudden in a few years go, okay, now we want to buy a $600,000 house. Mm-hmm. So you're gonna jump 450, and now you're gonna be okay. Now we can do 600 comfortably, because now we have this nest egg.
Comfortably is the key word.
We have this money. We have this nest egg. We have this asset. Mm-hmm. And again, I would just urge people. I tell people all the time, and not everyone's in this situation. And trust me, me and my wife have been in the same situation where we had to sell a previous home to afford the next upgrade, which is still fine, because at the end of the day, you're still paying for that. You're paid out that money, but that real estate allowed you to upgrade to a bigger home that's going to gain appreciation faster. Yeah. It's going to gain value faster. So like, I look at this house. I have more equity in this house today than I would have probably ever had at my last house. And again, it was a beautiful home. I loved my home. I made it as nice mm-hmm. as we possibly could. But you know, you buy it from 200, it might be one of these days worth 500. So there's a $300,000 gap of equity in there. Okay, I could do that in another year here. Mm-hmm. It can jump up 2 years where I'm at now. So it depends on where you put yourself. The biggest thing that I would also tell people is stop counting the equity in your home as your net worth.
Correct.
Please stop doing that. That is what our parents us and our grandparents told them is exactly what Elena said. It's leverage. The banks are using that gap of the equity in your home to borrow more money. Debt, money is created by debt. That's how you print more money, you make more money, is people have to borrow money. That's how money is created, okay? So people look at it and go, oh, I'm worth $500,000 because my house is worth $1 million. I paid $500,000, I owe $500,000 on it. It's worth $1 million if you sell it. Then you still have to go somewhere. So you're not, it's monopoly money. It's fake money. So what you should be doing is figuring out a way, how do you leverage that asset and that money that you've accumulated to go buy more assets. Mm-hmm. That is really what you should be looking at doing.
I look at it in our aspect, because Cole and I are trying to hold on to that equity as long as we can, because our goal is to buy the next house without touching the properties. And then once we buy our next house, then we start leveraging and buying investment properties with those, right?
Yeah.
Because you have to still qualify and all your debts and stuff.
Debt to income ratios, there's a lot of stuff that still
goes
to it.
But what we've done is the house hacking. You buy, you live in it, you get a great rate, put minimal down.
It's your primary residence. Yep.
And then you fix it up. You don't buy anything that's completely done. That's the key thing. You don't buy the ones with the bells
and whistles. There's no deals. There's no deals that
they're
all done.
You get the deal, right?
Yeah.
Like and I'll make our way to the house that we're going to buy for the next one, which will probably be in this area. So then Cole and I fix it up, got a great deal, put that one up for rent, rented it out, moved to the next one. We've done that 3 times total, okay? Now with our fourth thing, there's the main thing to understand is now that we want to go buy our family home, this is going to be the expensive home, right?
Yep.
My property's cash flow is now going to be paying for almost half of my next mortgage.
Correct.
Okay, so I watched like this video from Grant. I think it was Grant Cardone. Yeah, it was Grant Cardone. I take bits and pieces of them because they're just at a completely different wealth level, right?
Well, he does a lot of multifamily, and he's a multi-billionaire.
Yeah, and so, I don't know if I want to be at a level of like airplanes and shit, but he did say something that makes sense. It was Elena Cardone, my girl. Elena, though. She calls me Elena. So anyways, she was saying the money they make from the business never pays for their lifestyle.
Correct.
The money they make from their business immediately goes to investments, and whatever profits out for those investments is what pays for their lifestyle.
Yep.
Because at the end of the day, they're still making money off the extra, mm-hmm. right? But they're still making those investments.
Well, someone else is funding their life. That's what it really is. Yeah. And that's how the rich get richer.
And so that is the idea behind what Cole and I are doing. So mm-hmm. we've had to sacrifice living in homes mm-hmm. I don't want to live in. We have had to sacrifice my husband's drive an old truck. Even though I had a Mercedes 1 year, I did pay cash for that. I didn't have car payments. I don't have car payments now, right? Mm-hmm. So you look at it as we sacrificed not having the bells and whistles compared to the people that are around us. Mm-hmm. I remember when we bought our first house, mm-hmm. I was upset because I was selling them, but my friends were buying the ones with the granite and the pretty flooring and all the nice. But now he and I are the only ones that own multiple properties.
Correct.
Right? So
correct.
It's putting your ego aside for a bigger gain.
You guys, and we've talked about this numerous times, is people have got to wrap their head around the fact that people don't care what you have. If you buy a brand new car, I could tell people all the time, I couldn't be happier for you. Mm-hmm. If it makes you happy and it makes you and you enjoy doing it, fantastic. If you can afford it, good for you. But what most people do is say, oh my God, nice car, congratulations. They go about their life. They go about their day. Oh my God, Elena, you got this new beautiful home. They walk the house. They compliment it. Oh my gosh, there's a little bit of jealousy and a little bit of envy in there. But at the end of the day, they go right back to their lives. Now they're not paying that bill. Mm-hmm. They're not stuck with that burden. You are. Mm-hmm. So again, it was to, we get so wrapped up into spending money on dumb shit. And we do it all the time. And, and again,
why would you need 20 designer purses?
You don't. And, for us, it's food. It's fast food. It's convenience. It's Starbucks. Like, I went to Starbucks the other day, and shame on me for doing it. And I was like, I bought 2 cups of coffee. It was $14.
Yeah, I don't do Starbucks.
And I literally told my wife that day, I said, I'm at the point where I'm about to boycott Starbucks.
Yeah.
And she's like, what are you talking about? I said, it is the dumbest, and I'm pretty smart with my money. Mm-hmm. So because of the convenience of going and grabbing a couple cups of coffee, and rather than just waiting until I got home to have coffee, I spent $14 on something that would cost me $1 at home. Mm-hmm. But we do that so many times throughout the course of the month, and then those same people are the ones that say, I can't take a $200 a month loss. Mm-hmm. I can't buy that property. It's a break even. I'm not going to make any cash flow. They get so wrapped up, and the cash flow is important. The cash flow is going to come. The only reason wouldn't cash flow in today's world is because the interest rates are at 7.5%. Well, what happens if they drop to 4.5 or 5 again? Now you're making $300 or $400 a month, and you got it at that buy price, like you said, at the deal price. Yeah. But you got to stop spending money on dumb shit. Yeah. And again, I'm guilty of it too.
There's just things. But you don't go to the extreme.
I don't. Like, but it's just a way. I thought to myself, like, Ryan, what are you doing? Well, this is a waste of money.
I remember when Cole and I were auditing our expenses last year, and because with being busy with work, there's times I get home and the last thing I want to do is cook and clean, especially with my kids.
Sure.
Right. And Cole gets home from work. It's not like he has, when he was coaching, so it was 2 years ago, he had an inconsistent schedule, right? So there came into a point where we were Uber eating all the time.
Mm-hmm.
All the time.
So you're paying, 10, 20%?
So we did an audit. One month, we spent $980 on going out to eat with Uber Eats.
Mm-hmm.
Not only did we spend, it was $1,000 on that. I gained weight because he doesn't. He's stupid.
Yeah, you felt like crap. Your body felt, yep.
And I'm paying for it now. My body's paying for it now, right? Because now I can't get rid of this weight because you're taking in all those extra unnecessary calories. It's like mm-hmm. no nutrients in fast food mm-hmm. and Uber Eats, let's be honest.
No.
You can't really Uber Eats healthy food.
No, you're putting poison in your body because of the convenience. And we get to a point, it's just laziness.
So that was an eye-opener for us when we finally audited, which brings me to a point. If you're at a point where you're living paycheck to paycheck, do an audit. Do an audit on your lifestyle. What are you paying for? And what are you paying for that you feel the need to go on social media and post about? That's your ego right there.
You have to build, you got to get to the point where you start building momentum. And you can't build any momentum until you figure out a way to get out of the rat race. You have to figure out a way to get out of the rat race. And then you just slowly build over time. And again, people want it now. They don't want to wait 20 or 30 years. Yeah. And guys, this is the long game. Now, when it comes to investing, when it comes into building wealth or building comfortability in your life, and not everyone has the same needs, right? Not everyone wants to be wealthy. Some people want to live paycheck to paycheck. They don't want the stress of extra work. They don't want to invest. They want to just get through their, and there's always going to be people like that.
Yeah.
But there are a lot of people out there, they just don't know, have any guidance, and they have the guidance from the old school mentality. And it's not that you're knocking your parents, because your parents were taught from their parents that you have to save. You have to save your way to retirement. You have to save your way to a nest egg. What I'm telling you, in today's environment, with the cost of living and the cost of how expensive everything is, it is going to be a long, hard road for you guys to save your way. You've got to figure out a way to invest. Mm-hmm. You've got to figure out a way to make your money work for you some way, somehow. Start it small.
Yeah.
Peel off $100 a month and say, I'm going to invest $100 a month. And then $100 turns into $200 a month.
But,
and you just build over time.
But most people don't think about money the way we do. So I think if you in a position that you don't know how to do it, go to professionals. Like a lender would be a great start.
Because
they're going to deep dive into your financials. And they're going to say, this is your debt to income ratio. This is what you could afford on a house. This is why you can't afford a house. And start there. And they will help guide you. Be like, this is the credit card that you need to get paid down. And then from there, maybe meet up with a financial advisor or something and figure out, how can I live within my means from where I'm at to get myself into a good position?
Yes.
Right? Because most people don't realize the rich don't need people to know they're rich.
They don't care. They don't want people to know that they are.
The fake rich have to let people know they've got money. And that's the ones that are hurting the most, because I've seen it. I've seen a lot of realtors go through it, too.
You'll know if I make it. Like I said, what they say, there will be signs.
Yeah.
Ryan will be spending half a year in Italy, so that would be a sign that I've done okay if I'm over there
six
months out of a year. Yeah, but again, I'll take a small little condo for all I care, right? So,
but you look at the bigger picture. I guess that's the end game. It's kind of like buying a house. You got to look at the bigger picture.
You look at the bigger picture,
not the short
term. Again, for all you young people out there. Mm-hmm. Stop making the excuse that it can't happen. Stop making the excuse that you can't live the same life that your parents lived.
You'll never be able to buy a house.
Exactly. Be the person that that goes against the grain. Be the person that says, you know what, I'm going to figure out how to do it. And again, go back in history, right? When you, again, my mom and dad's first house was $68,000. And again, my first house was $225,000.
My parents today, 80, and it's now $1 million.
So now the 225, but again, there's houses out there right now. Maybe not in California, but here in Texas, there's certainly a lot of areas where you still can buy a house in the 300s. And they're nice little homes. They are nice, great starter homes for the $300,000 to $350 range. Then you take that and you upgrade it to a $400,000 house, then a $600,000 house, and it just builds over time.
You don't have to stay there forever. I was in my first house a year and a half till I moved again.
Guys, time goes by so quickly. Yeah. When you look at, how long have you been in this house? 4 years?
Three.
And again, I remember when you moved into it, you're like, oh my gosh, 3 years, 3 to 4 years is my goal. And you're almost there. So it's like it's gone that fast. Time goes by so quickly. And everyone thinks it takes forever. It does not take forever. It's a couple year sacrifice to change the dynamic of your life and to change the trajectory. You got to have it. And if you don't have it today and you start having kids and children, how are you ever going to break that chain for them?
And I don't care what people say. If you are all about the flashy, you come to stress. And I don't care how happy you post about yourself being on social media, how good your business is, how good your life is. If you are stressed financially, you're not doing well in life.
No.
I will tell you, because I was there at a point once when I was always maxing myself out with my business stuff. And I was just stressed, and Cole and I would fight all the time. And now that I've audited my life, and Cole and I have readjusted, and we're living within our means fully,
We said it. We said in the last episode, the people that are the happiest are the people that live within their means.
The most freedom.
I'm telling you guys right now, I know people that work for me that might make $50,000 a year, and they have a smile from ear to ear. They're happy in life. They got a great marriage. They live a simple life. They don't need the flash. They don't care about the cars. They don't care about the vacations. They don't care about the huge 4,000 square foot house, which is perfectly fine. They want to have they want to have a, they want to get off work and go home and relax. And you've got people that are, that want the next step. And I know people that have a lot of money that hate their lives. They're in a horrible marriage. They're, you know, they think their spouses are cheating on them, or they're cheating on them, or they live separate lives.
Fake
or they fake. Yeah. If people are around them because of the money, they have to constantly entertain these people that are super fake. They live separate lives from their spouses. They have no relationships with their kids. Who cares what's in your bank account if you don't have any of those things, right? So the people that you see that are the most successful are the people that you'd walk by on the street and you would never know it. Yeah. And I truly believe that.
If you want a fruitful life, choose freedom.
Freedom.
Financial freedom is the only way to get it.
So
thanks for watching.
Thank you guys. We'll catch you on the next one. Take care.
Bye.